listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show here. What an incredible view out my AI window. Isn't that fun? LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. We're here to talk about one thing, and that is how to create your life, your ultimate life, the life you love and want more than anything else, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create by serving with your gifts and talents. I am excited to have a guest here from a long ways away. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kellen. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you here also. I applaud you for staying up late. She's here live with us, and she's from a faraway place, and so I don't even know what time it is, but it's late.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's midnight, Kellen.
So you're on show at midnight, so bless your heart. So, Rachel, one of the reasons I wanted to have you is because you are such a clear, focused person about how you show up in the world. And so without giving a bunch of intro, I'd like that to kind of come out as we talk. Tell me and our listeners, how does Rachel add good to the world? How do you do things that consciously are intended to create goodness, love, kindness, whatever good words you want to use? How do you do that?
Wow. I do that in the way that I've realized is my gift and my way of doing it in the world. So I feel like I'm really here to be that bridge to help people to get, you know, sometimes we get stuck in life, don't we? Like we can't see beyond the woods and we can't see beyond the wood. We can't see beyond the trees, and we can get bogged down in our emotions, in our thoughts, in our busyness, in doing, and we can lose track of who we are and what we're meant to be doing. So the work that I do really works with people to sort of like clear them from all that debris so they can actually go, okay, actually, this is the path I'm meant to be on. This is what I'm meant to be doing. This is how I access joy. This is how I access my purpose. This is how I grow my life. And so I'm really passionate about helping people see a bigger picture rather than getting bogged down in the day-to-day life that can sometimes really keep us stuck and keep us feeling heavy.
You know, I think it does for everybody until we decide that it isn't going to. You know, we have to do something about it. I guess I want to know your opinion. Well, why do you think that the world is such that that's sort of the default, at least in the Western world? You know, I'm not going to pretend I have great knowledge of other places, but in the Western world, Western Europe, Canada, the U.S., North America at least, we live this frantic life that is full of that camouflage and busyness and distractedness and everything. How come? How come we're there? And we need to get dragged out of the swamp.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think it's sort of like, it's almost become ingrained in us, hasn't it? You know, since we were born, since we're like, it's sort of ingrained in us that, you know, to succeed, you must work hard, or that life is difficult and life is this and life is that. And I think we hear it so much. We think that that's what it's meant to be life. And it's like we're on this conveyor belt. And actually, do you know what? We can get off that conveyor belt. We don't have to sit in that and know that that's the truth, because it's not. But sometimes we just need to take those blinkers off and go, hold on, is this feel right to me? Is this actually how I want to be living my life? I mean, not everyone's in that, but you have got choice and you have got options to go, actually, I don't want to be on this conveyor belt. I want to be over here. But it takes that moment of sort of like recognition of, is this really what my life is about? Some people feel that they've got no say in it, or they don't have a choice, or this is just how it is, but actually it's not. But that decision has to come from within and from us realizing, do you know what, I can do something about this.
What if sometimes when people hear that kind of language, and I use it as a coach too, about you don't have to this, that, and the other, but many, many, many people, and I think 90-something percent of the people live either partially or fully on that conveyor belt, as it were. But let's say, what if I say to you, or if people have said to me, yeah, but if I get off the conveyor belt or this sort of treadmill kind of thing, I won't be able to make money, enjoy my life, do the things. In other words, they equate this rigid sort of fake, as it were, existence with that's all there is. And if I don't do that, I'm going to have to live as a hermit somewhere in the woods. Like, what do you say when someone comes to you and maybe doesn't say that, but presents that way, that the idea that can get off is sort of crazy because, yeah, duh, then what am I going to do?
That's, you're coming in with these great questions straight away, Ken. I'm like, all right, okay. Right. What would I say to that? Well, I would say that I thought like that. That's what I thought life was like. You know, that was kind of how I saw things growing up and was just like, oh, this is how things are. But I can also say that I came off the conveyor belt and see that actually living, I still make money. I still have an income. I still, you know, I still live. And actually I have the space and the time now to do the things that I want to do. And I have choices and I have options. And it takes strength and it takes courage to come off that because other people will look at you and go, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? And they might try and bring you back on that conveyor belt because it makes people uncomfortable when they see you shifting and they see you changing and they see you taking other options and other choices. But I suppose what I'd say was if you're at that point where you're just sort of like going through the motions, surely to try and feel something different in my opinion, it was a better option because I remember feeling like that. And I remember thinking, this can't be the only way it's meant to be. There has to be another way. And so that's kind of what I would say to someone else who was potentially feeling something like I was feeling quite a few years ago.
Why do you suppose people want to drag you back onto the into the rat race or on the conveyor belt? Why does it bother you? Not you, but the other you. Why does it bother somebody what you're doing if you decide to go do a new thing?
From my perspective, it was like, well, I don't know if I fit in anymore, or people won't accept me anymore. My friends might think I'm a bit strange. What will my family think of me? And if I'm doing this and it's suddenly making them feel uncomfortable, then, so there were a lot of questions that came up at that time because I was potentially not fitting in anymore. And that can be difficult to sort of be above, be not that you're any better than anyone else. It's not about that, but you're in a different place. And actually that can be hard to navigate sometimes when everyone else is saying, but are you sure that's a good idea? That's not safe. How are you going to make money? How are you going to live? You know, people, and in a way, when you're doing that, you're triggering their own sort of like thoughts and worries and fears as you're doing that, but they'll then project that onto you. And sometimes it can bring you back down again because you start questioning whether you're actually doing the right thing or not.
So you're doing a new thing. You think it's right because you're not happy with what things, how life has been, the busyness, the franticness, the goals, the externalities, all that stuff. So you do a new thing and all of a sudden you're an outcast in your own community or your family or whatever, either a little or a lot. And that drags you back in because number one, it's uncomfortable for them and, ooh, we can't do that. And two, then it makes you start questioning your own choices. Yeah. So does it really matter that I make them uncomfortable?
I can say that now. No, it doesn't. But it takes some getting used. I remember a coach I worked with probably about 5 or 6 years ago. She talked it almost like, what did she say? Like we're in these little ruts. And sometimes we want to get out of the rut, but to get out of it, sometimes you have to go up and then you slide back down again. You go up and then you slide back down again. And then you eventually get enough momentum to get yourself out of the rut. But it can take a bit of going up and down before you get out of it.
So when people that are talking about, you know, I talk about your ultimate life, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, and it is founded on exactly what you described, the idea that you not only can you be yourself and do the things that you want to do, but actually your best value in the world and your most joy is making that choice. How do you help somebody see that when they're encountering the difficulties of up and down the side or the unhappy family or friends or whatever? How do you help somebody stay on the path?
I guess, personally, I help them see or suggest to them that they really think about initially, okay, what is my bigger picture here in this? So help them sort of like, I know we hear it, but like create their own why, their own vision, their own mission, their own like, okay, what is joy to me? What do I want my life to look like? How do I want that to feel? And to sort of keep that vision in mind so that when they do potentially hit like a roadblock that might sort of bring them back down again, for them to be able to sort of connect back into that, but actually this is the life that I want and this is where I'm heading and this is what I would like to focus on, can help sort of like bring them back out of it again. So sort of, I would say to really have that vision of how do I want my life to be? And to remember at that point that, do you know what? And to allow yourself to believe and feel like it's possible. Like, because sometimes we're told like that there are restrictions, that there are limitations, life is hard, you can't have this, you can't do this. But that's just, I would call that, what would I call that? Other people's thoughts, other people's opinions. It's not necessarily the truth. And it might have been the truth that you've lived in so far. But actually, if you can just take a moment to realize that actually you have the power within you to change all of that and to think, do you know what? I'm going to dream. I'm going to think about what it is that I want and imagine that and start creating that in my thought and in my minds and finding people, also finding people that do rest, because there are people out there like you and I, Kellen. We're not the only two crazy people out here. There are a lot of people out there who have a similar sort of belief system. So find people like that who are going to lift you up rather than bring you back down again. So keep that vision in your mind and intentionally start connecting, making connections with friends or networks or whoever you can of people who are like cheerleading you and wanting to support your growth, not like wanting to drag you back down again.
Well, I love that. That's really good. And I love the fact that you said helping people figure out what they want. My experience with that is very, very often when I ask somebody, what do you want? They actually have no idea. No. And do you find that like people just have no flipping clue? They might list off a bunch of stuff, you know, more money, more time, freedom, this, that, and the other. But when you dig a little deeper, they actually have no idea. Is that what you know, experience?
Yes, I do. And I think it's very hard to sort of, we find it difficult, certainly over, like you said, in the West, to really think about our own wants, our own needs, and our own desires, because we're often taught that other people's needs are more important than our needs. So actually to really think about what we want is sometimes we can feel like we're being selfish in doing that.
How hard is it for somebody to, how many layers do you have to dig through before you can help a person identify, and I realize this is a generalization, but identify what they really want and sit well with it so that it feels good to them, as opposed to just rattling off words. No, not those words. More, deeper. Come on. Dig another. What else? Why? And all the stuff you ask. How long do you find that it takes to get somebody to at least close to where they're saying something that they believe?
Wow. And ultimately that is dependent on each person. I also think it depends where they are in their life. It could take one call, it could take several calls, it could take a few months. It depends on each person because we've all got different layers. But I suppose ultimately, if you're ready for that change, I think it can come quite quickly if you're open to it and you just go, right, this, then I think it can happen quite quickly.
So you got to a place where you were questioning the treadmill, questioning the thing that you're sort of squeezed into, square peg, round hole, whatever. We're going to push you in here because that's what we're supposed to do. Mm. But you didn't fall up this mountain. So what happened? What happened? What brought you to say, wow, you know what? I don't know exactly what this is supposed to look like, but it ain't this. Like what happened?
Well, maybe this will resonate with some of your listeners. So I was about to turn 40. I was in my late 30s, about to turn 40. So it's often at these milestones, isn't it? And I remember just feeling a lot of, like, I would call them low emotions. So like depression, fear, anxiety, like crying for no reason. Well, in my mind, I was crying for no reason and I couldn't really explain it. And I was sort of like going through the motions. But, you know, on the outside, Rachel's got a house. She's got a lovely marriage. She's got a young daughter. At that point, I was working for myself. It wasn't like I was stuck in a career that I wasn't happy with. I was in my own. I had my own sort of business at that point. It wasn't where I wanted it to be at all. So what was coming up for me was a lot of like, I'm not good enough. Everyone else is more successful than I am. I haven't got enough money. You know, all this stuff started unfolding. And initially I was sort of sitting there waiting. I was like sitting there waiting for like someone to come and rescue me, someone to come and sort this out. I was like, I'll just wait for this to happen. I'll just wait for my husband to do this. I'll just wait for this to happen. And I was sitting there waiting and nothing was going to happen until I decided to make the change.
Isn't it uncomfortable when we learn that no one is coming?
Yes. And it's not like no one wants to support you, but no one can come and fix you.
Nobody's like, coming.
People can support you. People can be there to hold you. And they can be there to cheerlead you. And it was actually my husband who said it to me one evening, because he's so brilliant like that. He kind of said to me, because I was crying. I was like, oh, I feel sad and I feel this and I feel so useless and I'm so rubbish, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but Rachel, do you want to change? Because we've had this conversation many times and nothing seems to be happening. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Right.
That was the thing that ultimately struck it for me. So I'm blessed to have someone who shines a light. It's sort of like the mirror in my face and goes, I'm here to support you, but I can't do it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to a place where somebody called you up, held the mirror, did whatever. And even though at that moment you said, okay, wow, this is true, and it was loud enough to get over the edge of the rut, you know, up, down, up, down, and so you're getting over, at least peeking over the edge of the rut, you know, like one of those cartoons, right? Ooh, what's up here? Okay, cool. So then what did you do to get that started, to get out of the feeling of sameness, of not enoughness, of worthlessness? Well, to walk us through some of the steps, because I know every person who experiences this sense of dissatisfaction at whatever point in their life has the question, can I do it? Don't know where to start. Who do I talk to? That kind of thing. So share a little bit of your journey to get them another assurance that what you're talking about is possible.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing I did, I started sort of taking charge of my life. I know that might sound like a big thing, but actually I was letting life run me. So I was like, oh, I'd just get up in the morning, I'd go through the motions, I'd get dressed, I'd take my daughter to school. And I had no intention. I didn't put myself in the equation. So I actually started intentionally taking time for myself. So initially that was just, you know what, saying every morning I'm going to take 10 minutes just to journal. And that sort of routine became longer and I gave myself more time. I started doing meditation. I started doing breath work. You know, I started doing things where I was really sort of like deciding, taking control of my life and deciding actually, how do I want to feel today? How do I want my day to go? Do I have to be just stuck on this conveyor belt doing what life is sort of telling me to do? Or do I have some say in this? And I started taking charge of that. So, and the more I did that, the more I realized I could control how I was. Yeah, I could say control more how I was feeling. So my emotions weren't controlling me. I was more like, oh, actually, you know what? I don't want to feel like this all the time. I want to feel more positive. I want to feel more hopeful and more joyful. So I intentionally started putting that intention out there and changed how I led my day. And so I led my day by beginning with me, which is a massive thing for a lot of people to think, you know, I'm the most important person in my life. And actually by me doing that, I'm actually then making my family life much more joyful because I'm not running on empty. I've got more energy and I've got more to give because I'm giving to myself. So I did that. And so, and now, I mean, now a bit like you, Kellen, I have a lovely morning routine that sometimes I have an hour and a half to myself. And I intentionally do that. Some people say, how do you do that? I've not got any time. Like, I intentionally make that time. And it doesn't have to be always in the morning. It could be in the evening for you. But I think making yourself a priority would be my first, whatever that means for you, whether that's exercise, whether that's meditation, whether that's a yoga class, whether that's reading, making yourself remember that you matter is important. And then the other thing that I did was I remember sitting there one day, sort of like going, do you know what, universe, I'm ready for some help with this. Show me how to get through this. And I actually put that out there as an intention. And about 2 or 3 days later, I remember this sort of message popped up in my Facebook feed. And it was this sort of like thing that just jumped out to me. And it was just like, and it was like a, it was a coach. And I read that and I saw it. And I did this late. I remember it was a 21-day challenge that I jumped into and I just did it. And that was another thing that, so it wasn't her fixing me. It was me seeing something going, I need that to support me and jumping into that. And that was another thing that started my trajectory. So sometimes I think it's just a matter of saying, do you know what? I need some support with this, and asking whether whatever your faith is, for the support to come in. And then when you do see it coming in, take action on it. So it was those two things combined. It was me going, right, I'm going to make myself a priority, but also me going, okay, who can support me with this? And doing those two things together really helped me get out of it.
So I'm hearing a couple of really important things. One is the willingness to love yourself.
Yes.
And that is the context of taking care of yourself, because you stated a really important truth, I think, and I'm going to reiterate, and that is that if you can't serve from an empty cup.
Correct.
And so if you don't fill your cup, you can go through the motions, but then they become obligations. I have to do this and I have to do that. And I always find that obligations, things that I would describe, well, I have to, obligation carries always the seeds of resentment, meaning I'd rather be doing something else. I have to do this. And when you fill your cup and you feel both in charge, you feel worth something, worthy, then you can do the very same thing. And then it's from a place of joyful, excuse me, joyful commitment,
yeah,
instead of obligation.
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead.
No.
So does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. Yeah, I remember once a coach sharing with me once, you know, rather than always saying, I have to, which always feels so heavy and it brings on a sense of stress, it's making me calm now, brings on a sense of like, of obligation and heaviness. Even if you just change that word to I get to, you know, I get to do this, I get to do that, that can really just shift your feeling about things. So where was I going with that one? Yeah. And so carving out that time for yourself, I feel also means that when you then go into like, what it is, you go out, you do something with your family, or you're going to work, or you're wanting to create a change in your life, you've got the space and the headspace to actually think about what that might be. I think if you're always in, I have to, you, there's no room for any change because you're not creating any space for it. And if there's no space for it, how's it going to come in? Where's it? You're full.
I love that. And one of the ways when people, and I'm sure you have a thought about this, when people want to do something new, create something new, you know, I help people write books and do other stuff. But what I always tell people is, look, if you're going to do that and say yes to this thing, you're going to be making a trade. You're not going to sandwich it into what you've already got. It's like saying, well, I'm going to clean the garage or paint this room this weekend, and you don't do any prep and you don't block any time and you don't cancel some other stuff. The answer is no, you're not. You're not going to do it because you got to consciously, because nobody spends a lot of time counting the dots on the ceiling tiles, you know, the acoustic tile or something. Your day, your life is full already. And so if you're going to make a change, like you described, the first thing you have to do is make some space. You got to say no to some other stuff, and you can be intentional about that, but you got to realize I'm going to trade this time for this time.
Yeah.
Do you find that that's important for people to understand when they're trying to make these adjustments?
Yes. I think it's important to understand that. And it's, and so to make that commitment, and potentially like just say to other people as well in your life, you know, maybe your family members or whatever, is look, this is really important to me. I'm trying to make this change, and you know, I'm going to be making these changes, and get them on board with you as well. So they're like, yeah, they're behind you with it. It's not that you don't love them, you don't care about them. In fact, you're doing it probably because you do love them and you want to make a change. So tell them that this is your intention. And then also, I think sometimes it's really easy to get caught up in that excitement of beginning something. And then you make that commitment, you make that change. And then it's easy when life sometimes comes back in again, it's easy to let that decision go, isn't it? Because you sometimes got to remember the energy that you made that initial decision in, when you were excited and you were like, yes, I believe in this, and yes, I'm going to do this. Sometimes because life will come and try and get in the way, life will try and make you busy again. And it's about remembering that you made that commitment to yourself and honoring that commitment that you made.
I love that, the emphasis you're putting on commitment. I have a name for that, and I didn't invent this. Somebody else did, but it's habit gravity. It's like your habits have some kind of gravity, and they pull you back at least for, you know, some weeks or months. And it depends on how long you've had them and how deeply the beliefs associated with them are woven in your DNA. But you've got to get to escape velocity, like getting off the earth or something, a rocket ship, right? Otherwise, the habit gravity is going to pull you right back down, especially if there's stories of selfishness or any of those other things. Then that habit gravity gets particularly strong.
And I suppose if that habit is still particularly strong, then that's where you seek out help. That's where you seek out someone who's been on that journey before, who can help you understand potentially why you've got that habit, why it's difficult for you to let that go, why, because often there's a reason behind it. It's often the habit or whatever it is rooted in safety for some reason, and your subconscious sometimes finds it very difficult when it sees you expanding. It doesn't know like, are you going to be safe? What's going to happen? This is new. Like, and so your mind can sort of go a bit crazy, not crazy, but it'll be like, oh, I'm not sure this is safe. So hence why you'll suddenly feel that desire to go back into old habits, back to things that you know, because then you're like, oh, it's okay, I'm safe here. My body knows this, my subconscious knows this. I'm safe, even though it's uncomfortable and you don't want to be there, it's also familiar. So it's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and allowing yourself to go through that sort of like invisible, what would I call it? I know we all say it, the comfort zone, but that stretch, allowing yourself to go beyond what's comfortable.
What do you find the two or three most common stories are that people have about themselves that gets in the way because they believe it? In other words, they have a story and they believe it, and so can't change it till you quit believing it. What are two or three of the most common things that you experience? Because I see patterns over and over again. What do you see?
I see the real root of something, even though it might not be how what presents initially, is worthiness. Like there's a deep belief that I'm not worthy of this. That's often right at the root of something. It's often hidden by other things, but when you get to the root, it's like they just don't believe that they're worthy of it, or that it's possible, or that they can do it. They have a lot of self-doubt for whatever reason. So worthiness, self-doubt, and then not believing in abundance, feeling a fear of, you know, money's running out, there isn't enough, how am I going to do this? So they have, there's a lot of fear tied to money as well that I often see coming up that can stop people, because they're like, well, I might have to invest in this, or, you know, if I do this, I'm going to lose my income. And so there's a lot to untangle around money as well. That's often an issue as well.
You know, one of the things that I see is, you know, we're not a little baby. They're not born with the not good enough disease. You know, they're not born that way. But it seems like we practically start from the cradle having you're just not enough beat into you. Grades and friends and well-meaning parents and trauma and bad childhood experience and abuse, betrayal, whatever it is, seems like it just beats into us this feeling that you're inadequate, you're not enough. And so it's not a surprise that the I'm not good enough, NGE, I call it, not good enough, the NGE thing, right? You're not good enough and you don't deserve it, and you can't. Somebody might have that, but not you. So since that is, it seems like our common lot, and once in a while you might meet an extraordinary person that wasn't sort of socialized that way, but there sure aren't very many.
No.
and so that's a really interesting thing for me. And I want to, how do you open the door for me if I come to you displaying all the characteristics of not good enough, whether I call it that or not? How do you open the door to the truth? Because the truth is something completely different. So tell me how you open the door if I come to you with that language or presentation.
Wow. Okay. So for me, I work energetically. So if you were to come to me, I often can sense where it is within someone, why it was there, where it came from. So I really help someone to almost like go back and understand where it came from. So often, like you said, it's come from something that happened in childhood. It came from something that a teacher said to us, a parent said to us, and then we take that on board and believe it to be the truth. But when you can go back and realize that actually that's just something that someone put onto me, it's not actually the truth, and you can release that person from that belief, from that memory, then it can shift because you're clearing that, it can shift people's energy in the present, so they're no longer carrying that around. I often quote Gabor Mate. I don't know if people know Gabor Mate. I'm sure a lot of people do. But I often talk about it because when we're born, you know, we have this innate desire and this innate need to be attached to our parents, our caregivers. You know what? Because without them, we don't survive without that attachment. But we also have this within us, this innate sense of authenticity and needing to express who we are. That's also really important to us. But at some point, whatever that might be in our childhood, if we're ever made to feel like our own wants, our own needs, our own desires don't matter because we're told we're too loud, we're told we're not good enough, we're told to be quiet, we're told to shut up, we're told whatever it is, we then learn to step away from and not begin to trust our own gut instincts, our own thoughts, our own wants, our own needs, our own desires, because that might not be accepted by my parent, that might not be accepted by my teacher. So we learn to shut that down. So we learn to shut down those beliefs in ourselves that we think we are good enough initially. We know we're born knowing that. But if we're forever told that you're stupid, you're a bad person, you're a naughty child, if you do this, you can't have that, that becomes ingrained with us. And we believe that to suddenly be the truth, where ultimately it's not. And to help people recognize that that's not the truth is really quite freeing. And when you release yourself from that and realize actually, if I allowing myself to be authentic, allowing my own wants, my own needs, my own desires to come up, my own voice to speak how it wants to speak, is truly freeing. And that is, I've gone off on a complete tangent, but that is about being worthy and recognizing that you matter and allowing yourself to know that you matter.
Well, no, you haven't gone off on a tangent at all, because we have truth. And truth is, you know, my truth, until I realize that there's another possible truth, is that I'm not this, not that, because of all that stuff you just listed. So all that stuff happens to everybody, a little or a lot, And that becomes my truth. And so I see the world through those lenses, no matter what, you know, I see, that's all I see. And I believe things are available or not available based on that truth. And until something like someone skilled like yourself or whatever comes along and at least allows me to see the possibility of another truth, that there's another place, another way to look at this situation, then I'm stuck because I believe I'm married to this truth because it's the only one I have. And you know, get to take the glasses off and start over, realize that there's another truth and another one. Do you find that to be a difficult thing to get people to accept?
I mean, like I say, every person's different, but yes, it can be, especially if it's been something that's been with you for 40, 50 years, you know, to suddenly go, oh, I'm going to think differently or I'm going to behave differently can take, it takes some adjustment. So it does take some, I would call, you know, when people want growth, I mean, it's not always, it doesn't just go, people can't see what I'm doing right now, but it's not just one upward curve, doesn't it? It sort of can go up and down and up and down and up and down, but ultimately you go up, but it can be like a bit of a roller coaster going on that journey.
Well, I love that. And yes, people can see us because this is video live stream. So you're alive and well in video land. And some people might be listening, but whatever. Yeah. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Okay. You've given us some good instruction about where we get this disease, about how to begin to unravel this knot of stuff. And you've talked about how it feels in the body, and everybody knows that sort of feeling, sick feeling here and there. I'm wondering why you had an epiphany at 40-ish, and you know, husband helped you, and you went on this journey yourself, and you found your voice, and you started making these changes and so forth. Why is it then important for you to do that work for somebody else? I mean, you could have just, oh, I fixed me. I'm good. I'm stoked. I'm happy now. I can be myself and go do whatever that is and make money and be happy and have five voice and everything. But you decided somehow that part of that journey is I need to share this. How come, what's in your heart that makes that important?
Wow. I think because if I don't do that, then I'm not being myself. And if I'm not being myself, then I'm denying, then I'm not going back to being authentic. So I think I couldn't not, for me, it was like, I couldn't not do the work that I'm doing because by not doing it, I would probably have gone back into depression. I would have gone back into like doing something that wasn't fulfilling me or wasn't joyful. And that wasn't an option for me. So I was like, but me like, bringing my gifts to the world and helping other people create change in their life is just, well, it brings me joy. And I can see the effect it has on them. I can see the effect it has on the world. And like, I guess that's why I do it because, I suppose I don't know who I'd be if I didn't do it.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things I know is I see this over and over again, and that is when somebody, you, me, anybody, we have this awakening. Wow, another thing is possible. There is another set of glasses here. And then we do some work to go find it, and we start experiencing this, the liberation and the joy of the change. It seems like in every person that I talk to, as that begins to happen, there arises within us at the same time the yearning to share it and to give it to somebody else. And people say it over and over again. Well, I don't know. I have to. And it seems like that the change brings with it the yearning to share. What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Well, it certainly was the case for me. And I think that's because ultimately we all have a real reason for being here. Some people might think, what is Rachel saying? Do I have a purpose? But I believe everybody has a reason for being here. And I think when you can go through that journey yourself of getting into alignment, getting into your authentic self, your reason for being here becomes a lot clearer. People often say, well, what is my purpose? And I think, well, no, sometimes your purpose is to just be with yourself and work on yourself, and the purpose will become clearer. And I ultimately believe there's a reason why we're all born. There's a reason why we're all here. And I think that's why people have, once they've gone through something changing, they want to then share that with others in a way that they're meant to share it, because ultimately the world wants, I think, you know, we all want a positive, well, a lot of us here want a positive shift and change and ripple to happen in the world, and all of us who are on that path of change, I think if we can then share that with others, it can suddenly start having a massive ripple effect out into the world. We don't even realize sometimes the effect that we have in the world just by being ourselves and sharing that with other people.
I agree with you. And I just say really clearly, I think we're all here built to love and serve each other. And if we're not in that vibe right now, it's because we haven't had enough life experience to make us figure out that what we're doing right now isn't very much fun at a given moment, you know, when we're behaving under that spell of other stuff that we have talked about a couple of times. Yeah. What is the service that you provide? What does it look like? Like, you know, do you wave a magic wand over people? Do you sit? You talk to? I'm being silly a little bit, but you talked about body sensation. You know, well, like, what do you do if somebody gets in conversation with you and they're not a client yet? So, what do you do with me?
What do I do? We should have a session, Kellen. Then you'd work it out.
No. Yeah.
But so it's sometimes it's hard to quite. Some people say I am. You're a magician, Rachel. I'm like, yeah, sometimes it may seem like I'm a magician, but I do a lot of energy work. So some people are like, what is that really woo woo, Rachel? But for me, this is just like who I am and it's what I do. So I do a lot of energy work and I do a lot of sound work, a lot of frequency work. So for example, someone comes to me and we're feeling like there's a lot of like. So that they feel like they've got limitations, they feel like they can't grow, they've got some trauma they've not processed, or, you know, they're wanting to grow their income, they're wanting to grow their business, whatever it is, they will come to me and I can help them. I will help them and release the emotion that might be stuck there. That will be through energy healing, and that can be remote work. It doesn't have to be in person. And that will also be through vibration and through sound. So I used to be an opera singer. Not everybody knows that I trained to be an opera singer. And now I actually use my voice as a way of being able to create clearance within the body. So I will potentially use vibration and sound. Imagine that you've got some, I don't know, some anger or some sadness stuck within your body. And it's that emotion has a frequency to it. And if you can, if there is a sound that will come in and vibrate with that emotion and frequency, it will shift out of your body quite quickly and quite easily. So it may sound like like you might need to just be slightly open-minded to what I'm saying right now, but it works on a profound level. And people's energy will then change because they're no longer carrying around the heaviness, the guilt, the sadness, the belief systems. When you can do all that internal work, your external world then changes. They're like, well, then how will that show up in my life? And it's like, well, because you're no longer carrying around vibration, emotions, and feelings, you then can suddenly feel like, do you know what? I've got more choices. I've got more options. You know, you get more ideas and you're more in alignment. So actually the things that you do want, the change, the shift, the more money, the more success, whatever it is, will come into your world because your vibration and your frequency has shifted, so that actually all those things that you've been wishing for and wanting to come into your life, which you've been pushing away previously because you've not felt that you deserved it, you didn't feel it was possible, your emotions have been holding you back, your energy has been holding you back, that energy is no longer holding you back. Your energy will then be a match for those things that you've been asking for and wanting to bring in, because you're not holding yourself back anymore.
So but somebody maybe may think this is some weird stuff and you're going to do this or that. And I use some of the same language, and those that have watched a lot of shows know that. But I want you to think about something, you listeners. If you're feeling frustrated, and if somebody walks in the room that's got a big smile and they say something funny, and you even remotely start to respond to that, your body changes. You've had that happen. You've had it a million times. Or if you're feeling really good and somebody walks in the room and says or does something that is the opposite of that, it pulls you down. So the idea that Rachel's talking about, that energy, because all that smile and all that other stuff, just somebody's energy. They have a positive energy and it affects somebody, you, in the room. And that's happened to you like a million times. So it's no different than that. At all. Right. It's just a different mechanism. And then when that happens, what she's saying, at least what I heard, is I'm a different person now. I'm a little happier. I'm a little less negative. I'm not carrying that dark bug. You know, I shed it. I let it go. I laughed. Mm-hmm. I did something different. And because I'm in that state, I am more open. I'm more creative. My ideas come more easily.
Yes.
And so this is not some weird Martian voodoo. This is like the truth of what you already experience in daily life. It's like learning to recognize, understand, and go somewhere, like to Rachel, to do it on purpose. Does that make sense, Rachel? Yeah. Did I do any justice to it or ruin it?
You did it brilliantly. No, it's perfect. It's exactly that. I think we don't need to classify it as something woo-woo, strange. It's just like energy. We're all energy. We're all vibrating. Our emotions are our energy. And sometimes we feel like we are our emotions, that we can't get rid of these emotions. They are who we are. And I understand, because sometimes we can feel so heavy with them. And we think, God, we wake up every day and we're just like feeling that heaviness. And All we need to do in those moments sometimes is realize that our emotions are an energy in motion. Because all that happens is in that emotion, for whatever reason, has got stuck within your body. You've not been able to process it, or it's become layered upon emotion, upon emotion, upon emotion. And all you need to do sometimes is give yourself permission to feel that emotion deeply. Because when you give yourself permission to feel it, it will actually move on through your body like a cloud moves, because what we can often fear sometimes is feeling those emotions. So what we will do is numb the emotion by feeding it with, you know, we all do that. We feed it with watching the television. We feed it by numbing it by being on social media. We feed it by drinking alcohol. We feed it with food, you know, with sugar, you know, so we're trying to repress those feelings. But actually, if you just give yourself permission to fully feel them, you can almost your body and acknowledge that they are there without sort of like bogging yourself down in like why it's there, or getting into the story of it, or like holding on to it. It will leave your body.
I love it. So, you know, it's just like food. You eat it, you digest it. If you drink alcohol, it takes an hour and your body processes it. Your body will process the emotions if you let it. So, Rachel, I want to make sure that we take a minute right now for you to tell everybody exactly where to find out more about Rachel, find more Rachel goodness and more stuff that you have. I don't know, books, programs, websites. Go for it.
Bless you. Thank you, Kellen. So the best way to find me is on my website. You'll find most things there, my programs, how to contact me, things you can listen to. And that's rachelwaite.com. That's rachelwaite.com. So that's easy, rachelwaite.com. And then I mostly these days hang out on LinkedIn. So if you're looking for me on social media, if you just look for Rachel Waite, you'll find me on LinkedIn, and that's kind of where you're finding me hanging out these days. And you'll find all that you need on those, how to contact me, downloads you can listen to, programs you can easily subscribe to and get the help that you need straight away. And if you need to talk to me, then you go to my website, you book in a call to speak to me, and I'm happy to talk to you.
So I want you to take advantage of that, because what I don't want you to do is think, well, it's a bunch of nonsense. We've just given you a bunch of examples about how you're already doing it. Your emotion shifts moment to moment based on other inputs. And if you go look for an input to help you change it in the direction you want to go, wow, guess what happens? It moves in the direction you want it to go. Mm-hmm. So this is wonderful. Rachel, I really have enjoyed your energy, your openness, your authenticity, and the beingness that you are. Thank you for coming and being with me today on the show.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. And I'm like fully, it's nearly 1 a.m. now. And I'm like wide awake now. So I'm going to have to wind down before I actually go to sleep.
I
really loved it.
Some chamomile tea or whatever. Yes. Relax. Well, thanks for being here. I appreciate you showing up with us today. My listeners, I want you to take a moment to consider this truth. She talked about energy and stuff that we can look at as woo-woo. And, okay, it is. But the truth is, it is the truth. It's how we're built. And you know that the energy of one person affects the energy of another. So if you really want to change the direction, the substance, the content, the feeling of how you're living and what you're experiencing, go look her up, rachelwaite.com. Download some free stuff. Try it and see how it can move you forward to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.